Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They do
what they just did to a defending champ and what they did to the role players, particularly because, again, because if they do that to the Derek Joneses and Gaffords and PJ Washingtons,
right,
and they make it all about Luka and Kyrie, well, those two can go out and score 70 points between them. That's not going to be enough.
No.
And so, that's why I could see myself leaning back. But I don't think you're giving away anything because again, you're pecking these versus the spread.
We had to see this. I haven't even looked at
this. So, to have a series lean is not going to throw off us or your process. Here I am speaking for your process.
It's
not going to throw us off, I don't believe.
No, but also, and you're giving me information, too. But I will say.
Not saying who's playing,
though. No. I haven't looked at an injury report. The other thing is, the question that was answered for me in the Oklahoma series in those six games was Luka and Kyrie's ability to do what they did. And that's what I started. That's why I'm sort of, that's my setup for tomorrow.
It's weird because Luka seemed like he was right back to arguing with the referees again after doing the whole game with now it's still, he still got the win. He still performed well.
He still did it in that game too.
But he was completely,
back and forth.
He was completely different than he had been the game before when he said he was going to turn over a new leaf, play with a joy. He was back to going back and forth with the refs.
The whole freaking game.
And at one point, when I thought it was going to, you know, they were going to lose that game, I was going to say, here's Luka back, going back to his carnal self. He cannot help it, and maybe in some ways you lose some focus off of that, but in the end he ends up pulling it through. And a guy in PJ Washington, who we'll talk about here in Respect Burgers, you know, hit some big free throws, helped pull him through. Was happy for PJ Washington, a former, we had mentioned it last week, Team Penny player.
I saw your tweet on
helping push them. You see that
10 years ago he was on that
10 years ago this year. It'll be 10 years ago in July that he was they were at the on the wrong end of a tough Peach Jam loss. And I remember looking in that room and saying, well, him and Dedrick Lawson for sure going to go on to NBA careers.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, in P.J. Washington's case, right here 10 years later, he's going to the Western Conference Finals. Dedrick Lawson, I will say this, guy was, you know, stud at Memphis, stud at Kansas, probably didn't have the NBA athleticism that it requires, but in terms of big and skill level, can step outside, hit it. And he's over in Korea winning KBL MVP. So, man, that's still doing very well, making plenty of money as a pro. But, yeah, it was cool to see P.J. Washington. You know, 10 years ago, I'm in a locker room with him over in North Augusta, South Carolina. You know, seeing him probably at that time taking one of the hardest losses in his life.
Yeah.
You know, how folks want that Nike Peach Jam title. And they were dead set. Team Penny was the favorite to win it that year. And they come up short. But here 10 years later, he's grown, man, been through some stuff. He's been through some stuff. Again, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll do it in Respect Burgers, as a matter of fact. Got that coming up here after breaking in at 125. We'll talk to the great Jason Fitz, dive into the NBA, the playoffs as well, maybe see which way he's leaning now that we're in conference finals point, and also maybe get to some NFL with him. Ask him what maybe he can tell us and fill us in on what the heck Marvin Harrison Jr. is doing in terms of this the business decisions that he's making right now. All that. In hour number three, you're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Now, typically at these times, on Monday, I tell all the kids to go inside. Old daddy's going to get on the grill, and it's going to get hot. I pat out the burger patties like I did back at the Memphis Country Club back in the day. But I season these a little differently. In a world full of disrespect, I season them with respect. Let's do Respect Burgers.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show, Respect Burgers. Sizzlin' Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
Everything is all right, and it's certainly all right in Minnesota today. My, that town must be celebrating after knocking off the defending champions last night, 98-90 in a Game 7. Again, on the road in Denver, and I think that was the most amazing thing, at least to me, about Minnesota winning this series is that you won, as we said, three times at Denver. And I want to very specifically give this respect burger to the Minnesota defense, Chris Finch. Anthony Edwards, obviously a big part of that as the head of it, but also Rudy Gobert down the stretch. I mean, Naz Reid in terms of getting rebounds, putbacks, everything else. That all goes into a defensive effort that held Denver to 37 points in the second half. Again, the defending champs, just 37. And in the third quarter alone, it was just 14. That turned around a game that, as Brad said, if I said, seemed like Denver was on its way and cruising to victory, turned it completely on its head. Minnesota had trailed by 20. And like we said, get their third win at Denver of the series. And in doing so, hold them to an average of 89.7 points in those three games. I was just reading two in terms of the teams that you have left in the NBA, the final four, or so to say, teams now in the conference finals. You've got the Minnesota Timberwolves leading them at 7.3 steals per game. Again, what they've done defensively, probably more impressive than offensively. And how on different nights it seems to be, whether it's Jaden McDaniels, whether it's Rudy Gobert, Naz Reid, different nights, different guys step up for them offensively. Defensively, you got to be all together to put up a performance like that. And again, 7.3 steals. Mavericks at 6.4, Pacers 5.5, even the Celtics at 5.1. You're well ahead of everybody else that's left in the playoffs. And so I have to, again, wasn't necessarily shutting down Nikola Jokic, which that isn't what they really looked to do in that final game of Game 7. It was controlling the other guys and having no one other than Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic in double figures is one of the key reasons why they won the series. Denver played into their hands a little bit, I suppose, this offseason in terms of the depth that it thought it had, or in this case we found out it did not have come in the playoff time, wasn't ready to step up. But then, again, some of your key guys, too, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, nowhere to be found in this final game. And you've got to give Chris Finch, the Minnesota defense, a ton of credit for that. So Minnesota moving on to the conference finals where they'll take on Dallas. Congrats to them. And, wow, what a defensive performance from the Timberwolves. All right, moving on.
Respect.
I doubt you're going to hear this anywhere in the country. And maybe that's why I want to be the one that gives them a little bit of flowers. But I'm gonna give a group of respect burgers to the Indiana Pacers role players and T.J. McConnell's toughness, okay? We can hold up Halliburton. He was certainly great in the final game with 26 points. And you can, as I've said and touched on this show, you can make a pretty strong argument that Indiana's benefited greatly from injury luck. The fact that they got a Bucks team, didn't have Giannis and Dame for much of that. Knicks team, you don't have Randall, Bogdanovich, Mitchell Robinson, OG Anunoby's going down. So the Pacers did get some teams that were certainly either banged up or falling apart. But when it came to showing off that depth, when it had to be shown off, and in this case, you go into New York for Game 7, and you're getting, let's go with T.J. McConnell, 12-7, and just, I don't know, man, I'm not going to overdo this, but his attitude, his willingness to do anything, even if it's just bumping Brunson in a game where Brunson's going off but trying to make him uncomfortable, and the last couple of games it started to go more his way, but just the force that he was off the bench with the passion that he plays with, again, I would tell you that, you know, he is the leader of their second unit, and he does it a lot of times just with the aura, with the body language, but 11.9 points and 6 assists off the bench for him. That was his average this series, 12-7 in that deciding Game 7, had 15-4 in the Game 6 that they won on Friday to extend the series, but it wasn't just him. Pascal's good. He's not one of those role players, though, but certainly that trade paid off for them. But Nembhard gave him 20 yesterday along with Pascal. Aaron Nesmith, we mentioned, is going 8-for-8, giving him 19. And then this dude whose name I'm still trying to learn and remember, just because your boy ain't about all, you know, Pacers basketball. But this Isaiah Jackson dude gave him 9 points in like 10 minutes. And so in the end, it was about the depth that the Pacers had and then the depth that the Knicks did not as a result of injury, what wasn't developed, all that said, many reasons why this series went the way it did.
Rick Carlisle hit all the right buttons.
He really did, at a point where, again, it looked like the Knicks had this series under control.
Yeah.
You've got home court advantage, and if nothing else, you're going to get that Game 7 back at Madison Square Garden. You fight off Stephen A's powers. You fight off Spike Lee's powers. I mean, Madison Square Garden was rocking.
Yeah.
And from the get-go, the Pacers did not care, felt like they made every shot in the first quarter. Again, we talked about it, set a playoff record for shooting percentage. But it was really those role players. I mean, Miles Turner was great this series.
Yep.
Shouldn't go on without saying good things about him. Halliburton, again, when he had to be great, was. But I think the difference really was those Pacers role players. Remember, they don't even have Benedict Mathurin out there.
Yeah.
Like, he's hurt. And so to have this depth, like we talked about, guys like Isaiah Jackson, Aaron Nesmith stepping up, really showed me a lot. Much like OKC, I didn't watch a ton of Pacers this regular season for various reasons, and many of which we can understand.
Sure.
But I've been super impressed by what I've seen in terms of their depth. So shout out to them. Congratulations on advancing and facing a Celtics team that should absolutely mollywop you. I expect the Celtics to kill the Indiana Pacers. Oh, no, I'm giving away too much for Fade Brad. Don't want to influence him. Those picks will start tomorrow. I'm just messing around.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. And maybe this is a little bit personal. I touched on him last segment. I want to give a respect burger for P.J. Washington from going from, and we did a little bit of this on the show, from ridiculed to respected. The respected part comes off of what he did last night. Makes two free throws, obviously, before an intentional miss with 2.5 seconds left. I mean, you got to say SGA blew it with the foul call, you know, with the foul on P.J. Washington, who is not playing well offensively in that game.
Yep.
In that game. But you give him the chance to go and win the game from the free throw line, and he does, 117-116. P.J. Washington, though, was more than just the free throws made to advance Dallas to the Western Conference Finals on Saturday. He was the second leading scorer. I'm going to repeat that. Not Kyrie Irving. P.J. Washington was the second leading scorer for Dallas in this series, again, ahead of Irving.
Yeah.
You had a couple single-digit performances from Kyrie Irving. P.J. Washington, on the other hand, averaged 17.7 points, 8.3 rebounds for the series, had three double-doubles in the sixth game, and oh, by the way, the dude was 23 of 49 from three. That's a 47% clip that he shot from three, and the other reason I'm bringing him up is because we had said going into this series, we know what Doncic is going to do. We know what Luka's going to do. Who's going to be the third guy, and particularly as this series started when Tim Hardaway Jr. was still on the bench injured at that point. Did come back later, but we said who's going to be the third guy. P.J. Washington stepped up and became the second guy in terms of offensively for them.
Yeah.
So shout out to him, because remember, it was just a couple of years ago, we were ridiculing him. America was ridiculing him for his relationship with Brittany Renner, who Brad Carson is following on Instagram and probably has been ever since we discussed it. John likes to accuse me of doing that, but I think it was Brad that actually silently followed her that day. May or may not have. I'm kidding. Brad is a married man in love with Stacey. She's a wonderful woman. He would never slip into Brittany Renner's DMs. Remember Brittany Renner? We had talked about her. She is now, don't sell her short. She's a social media influencer.
Yeah.
Okay, one time I think we maybe referred to her as IG model. But one of the things we had
said that
P.J., you know, we had kind of subscribed to the theory that she had trapped him.
Ooh.
She had kind of hunted him down. She had gone to his games at Kentucky when he was still a Wildcat.
Yeah.
Kind of targeted him for a relationship. And again, these are claims. These are alleged claims that have been made towards her. She's responded to it and everything else. Said she wasn't trapping P.J. They fell in love. They had a baby. But the point was, very soon after, it all fell apart.
Yeah, that's
and she was going and ragging on him on social media and everything else. Mm. Basically, we said he wasn't paying. So P.J. very publicly had to go through this mess with his baby mama, Brittany Renner, mm-hmm. who may or may not have been using him. And at one point, many are saying she's getting $200,000 a month in child support from. I don't think she has come out and said that is not the case.
Okay.
Either way, do you know P.J. has moved on?
PJ, who's he got now?
He met another woman.
Let me rephrase.
He met another woman. I'm not exactly sure where.
He has somebody else.
And he already married her.
Oh.
He got her pregnant, and she married her.
Man, he's like...
Now, we were telling PJ, bro, you got to be smarter than this with Brittany. PJ just, you know, he falls in love very quickly. He falls in love very quickly.
He's a very serious cat.
My point was, and I was one of the ones, we were all doing it, man. We were ragging on PJ for, what are you doing? messing with this IG model and all this. She ain't nothing but using you. Anyway, and for a large part of his career with Charlotte, he's just kind of dwindling in anonymity.
Yes.
And he gets to this Dallas team. He becomes a key part of it, you know, on the fly as well. They did this trade
Incredible.
During the season and becomes a key piece for him. Like I said, we go back a few years.
Yep.
We've even had PJ's father on the show before.
Yeah.
So shout out to him. Was covering him 10 years ago on that team, Penny Squad. On this weekend, he's helping Dallas advance to a Western Conference Finals. And then finally, and this may sort of dovetail into your, I think I got a feeling it's going to, into your disrespect, dog. But Bryson DeChambeau comes up short at Valhalla at the PGA Championship, just short because of Xander Schauffele, his birdie on the final hole. But he did something really cool in terms of trying to give a ball to a kid, which I liked a lot because we've held DeChambeau up as this guy, particularly the experience he had a couple of years ago, this jerk, whatever else, this Neanderthal sort of all built up. You know, some of us have. Others loved Bryson DeChambeau. But I couldn't help but love what I saw this weekend when he tried to give a ball to a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Some punk tried to snatch it.
Oh.
And DeChambeau called the man out, almost chased him down because the guy had tried to hightail it out of there, chased him down, essentially made the guy give the ball back and give it to the kid.
We're trying
to inspire the children.
That is such a good dude.
And for DeChambeau to care that much, right? That, no, you're not going to be more jerk than me. That kid was for that ball was for the kid. I'm going to straighten this jerk out. Oh, kid, here's your ball. I thought that was a real stand-up thing to do by Bryson.
So that fan obviously is the disrespect dog.
He's got to be. You tried to steal it from a kid.
A fan trying to steal a souvenir from a kid is ridiculous. But I will say, this is what I want to go with this disrespect dog, though, and it's how Bryson has flipped his perception in the last 6 months.
So is this something he's consciously doing that I wasn't aware of?
Okay, so
all right.
There's stories written about this. He said, here's his quote after the championship, because a reporter asked him about this. They're like, you have flipped your perception about you know, we get the fan thing, you're acting differently. He said, I was trying to be of an entertainer that plays good golf every once in a while. And there was a guy who tweeted this, and I retweeted it. He said, there will be studies done on how Bryson DeChambeau took $125 million from the Saudis and then became more popular on the PGA Tour. And he's right. Like, this dude, Bryson DeChambeau, you notice the other thing he did, for example, when Schauffele won the tournament, walked across the course.
Oh, I heard about this.
He walks across the course to be the first dude who wished him congratulations was Bryson DeChambeau.
That's a stand-up thing to do.
A year ago, he would have never done that.
Interesting. And so he's turned over a new leaf.
And you know what I appreciate about this?
You've schooled me on it.
I think this is for all adults listening can take a note from this. We are living in a world of social media where you get boxed in to this behavioral, like, that's who you are. And so I can appreciate it when a person actually makes a personal decision to change themselves, and he recognizes it, and then everybody else recognizes it. I think it's a wonderful thing. Shout out to Bryson DeChambeau.
It's funny you say that, because we're going to get to Jason Fitz and talk about, but when you said that, you know who I thought about that's also done that? He's just kind of changed his aura. He's changed certainly what he's doing from a leadership standpoint.
Who is that?
Kyrie Irving.
Like, I agree
with that.
What
he's putting out now.
That is a really...
He is not interested. It does not feel like
exactly
anymore.
Exactly right.
In being controversial.
The interviews are
he's
different.
He's not interested in telling you that, making you believe that he knows more than you do.
So true,
or
Jason.
Trying to come across as the smartest guy in the room.
Yes.
I'm on this other plane and you guys don't understand that. He's completely flipped the script. And it's made him a better leader as a result of it.
Yep.
So I'm happy for what's happening for Kyrie and for that Dallas team. But I'm one of the guys that never thought it would work.
I didn't either.
Bringing in Kyrie to be with Luka, especially what you were going to do defensively. They had to make some adjustments this season. Again, moving on from Grant Williams, bringing in guys like P.J. Washington. Lively has been tremendous for them.
Oh, yeah, the whole
team. He has been absolutely tremendous for them. But it's come together for them. And like you said about DeChambeau, feels like Kyrie Irving has consciously decided to turn over
a
new leaf.
Yeah.
When it comes to, you know, his image, everything else, I'm not going to be as controversial. You can do that on your own. It's a personal
absolutely.
Choice.
Absolutely.
And again,
we should allow for that, by the way.
I would tell you it allows for a lot more positive.
Yes.
You know, in
yes.
terms of the impact that
because,
you can have.
Because with Kyrie, for example.
You can do more being positive.
You know who benefits? NBA fans. NBA fans have always wanted to see Kyrie do what he did.
Well, his team,
you know.
Too. I mean, just the guys on his team.
Yeah.
In terms of the leader you become, as opposed to throwing guys.
Right.
Like he was in Boston when he was trying to lead. You know, telling folks, well, this locker room doesn't get it.
Yeah, right.
As opposed to telling them, right. you're telling the media, he didn't know how to lead.
Right.
Okay, he's learned how to do that now. And part of it, like you said, I think is part of him turning over a new leaf. We're going to talk to Jason Fitz. He doesn't have to turn over a new leaf. because he's always been a great, talented guy, but always been a fantastic with us. Love having him on every Monday. We'll have him on here after a quick break. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN. Jason Fitz is Yahoo Sports football host and Fox Sports radio host. Grammy-winning musician as well. Super talented. More talented than all of us combined. Diehard Raiders fan as well. Won't hold that against him. It's something I deal with every day with my partner, John Martin. Can't hold against him. Love the Raiders. Follow him on X and Instagram at Jason Fitz. Fitzy of Minnesota, Indiana, Dallas. Which are you the most surprised is here at this point?
Well, I mean, Minnesota for sure, only because championship experience, the playoff experience is supposed to matter.
Supposed to.
So, like, think about when you're Denver and you're up 3-2 in this series. Ain't no way you're losing it, right? I think that's, for me, it wasn't about, like, some of the narratives I've heard on national TV, especially in the Knicks-Indiana series, where it's like, well, the Pacers players don't have the fire because they were laughing too much. Like, that stuff's stupid. But to me, like, the pressure of a Game 7 and knowing how to get through it, like, I really am stunned that Denver lost that those last two games. The one that they lost the way they did, but then even coming back. And look, Jokic was gassed. They didn't have anything left at the end of that game, and good for Minnesota, but I'm pretty stunned that they're here.
Yeah, who's to blame, you know, there? Is it Michael Malone, who, I know afterwards bristles up at a question about, you know, you were up 20 in that game, so how does it – or is it a front office, you know, Fitzy, that clearly last year, you know, Bruce Brown was one of those key pieces, role players, so that it wasn't just Murray and Jokic. And yesterday you're looking around, and those guys are the only two in double figures. You've got nothing off the bench. Christian Brown looking not ready. I mean, and Reggie Jackson, you know, banged up but not contributing either. So that front office, I would say, too, didn't do a great job in terms of, you know, having the right amount of depth, even though we usually go thin. Who's most to blame for this collapse?
Well, I love your front office point because I think it's really significant here. But when you're up by 20, why is Jokic playing every minute? Like, in the playoffs in Game 7, like, he played every minute of that game.
That's right.
So, to me, the coaching malpractice was, you got somebody up by 20, find one of those TV timeout pockets. And I heard this pointed out by somebody else that there's a spot a few weeks ago where Kyrie sat for 30 seconds in a game, but it turned into a six-minute rest because of the way the timeouts worked. And I just kept thinking about that last night.
You're right.
Watching this.
Yep.
It's like, what are you doing? Like, why is Jokic – you're taking the chance with a young team that's got legs – that they're going to have more legs than you do. So I think it was poor coaching at the end of that, which I know, you know, we're not ever allowed to question Malone there. Everybody loves him. But, my God, like, it feels like he got this one wrong.
No.
And as a result, they lose.
That, Fitzy, that is such a fantastic point because now that you mention it, Jason Kidd did that again yesterday. And they talked about it on the broadcast where he sat, I think it was Kyrie and Luka at one point, got him what was a short blow on game time, but in terms of minutes and actual rest, there was a ton of it. And the fact that Michael Malone did not do that, I think that's a great call on your part. In terms of, you've got this Minnesota team that can lock in defensively and certainly did in the second half against this Dallas team that, you know, we thought it was going to be Kyrie and Luka, but you've had P.J. Washington step up, actually be the second leading scorer, Lively shown how tough he is around the basket. Are you leaning one way or the other when it comes to this Western Conference Finals that certainly we've all got eyes on here as Grizzlies fans trying to figure out, okay, which of these teams are, you know, they feel so ahead of us right now. Are you leaning one way or the other in terms of those finals?
I feel like everybody's leaning Dallas on this, and I just can't see it. Like, to me, Minnesota's length. I mean, when you got three guys that are that big, right? And look at what happened in the last, five, 6 minutes of that game when that just became chaos, where Minnesota was getting every offensive board. Like,
yep.
I just think that their size and their length is pretty substantial in being undersold in this. So I like Minnesota in this. And also, you know, you know me and my weird 80s wrestling analogies, but does this not feel like the moment, like in the 80s, if you had a champion that was a bad guy or, you know, you could get everybody sort of into the bad part, it was called getting over. So like Hulk Hogan had to beat Andre the Giant to get over, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think what we just saw was not saying the NBA scripted that they got lucky with it, but what you had was a champion and the best player in the world that people just really haven't clicked with and don't care about, and Minnesota took them down. Right, so this just feels like the ascension of Minnesota. So I think they come into this this series just a little bit, you know, full chested, rightfully so, feeling like, man, if we beat Denver, we can beat anybody. And belief matters this late in the run. So I like Minnesota to be able to get through this. I think it continues this beautiful story for the NBA. And then we'll see, like, because Boston is clearly the better team in the East. You know, we all just presume Boston's going to choke because it's what they do. But this version of this Boston team, clearly the best team. And I don't think anybody's going to challenge them for the title.
Back to Minnesota real quick, because I would like to get back to that Boston point you just made there. But on Minnesota and sort of this rise, and I agree with, especially as it applies to Anthony Edwards, I'd ask you, Fitzy, how many other players in the league, especially ones as young and him as him, might be worried about getting embarrassed, but would agree to be mic'd up for a game 7 on the road against the champs, an obvious spot, like you say, that most are predicting you're going to lose that game. It's part of like that belief you were just talking about. Like Anthony Edwards even being willing to take that on, right? You're going to be mic'd up in a game 7 that you're probably going to lose. You'll probably regret, you know, this and the possibility that it's aired. But just his willingness to do that, man, I don't know. It just... You know, we've said so many things about him through this series, through these playoffs, the maturity, the growth, you know, but beyond his years, it feels like now, the deflecting all the credit to teammates. But the fact, that kind of courage and that kind of belief just says, man, everybody get behind him. In a 6-of-24 shooting game, he's still locked in defensively in the second half. I'm running out of things to say, and yet he continues to amaze me in things I didn't expect I would see.
Well, and to that point, the other part of it that really resonates is it just shows how authentic it is. Like the belief he has in himself and who he is as a personality. When he's sitting at the press conference table dropping F-bombs, do you think the league loves that? No. But the reason that it keeps happening is because the league ultimately will take that authenticity, right? Like, there's something when you watch him that people are like, yep, I feel like I'm seeing a real version of a real human being here that also happens to be one of the best players in the world. So, like, it is funny because I don't care about the MJ conversations like everybody else does. What I'm seeing right now, instead of worrying about who he looks like or what his potential is, I look at it right now and say very simply, like, if Anthony Edwards is the face of the NBA moving forward, the NBA is in a really good situation because, man, like, as a personality, he is ready to take on that level of attention.
It's so much fun to watch. It really is. And that's coming from a Grizzlies fan in Grizzlies town that I'm sure wants to hate Minnesota and hate him, whether you love him. I mean, you can't do anything but respect what he's doing. And I saw that Michael Jordan won his first playoff series. He's 25. Anthony Edwards is doing this at 22. It's pretty crazy. We're talking to the great Jason Fitz here on Jason John. Then on that other side, I'm with Boston should win this whole thing. And I think that's what I was reminded of yesterday as I watched the Pacers push back past this broken down Knicks team and everything else. And there's no argument to be made. I mean, the Pacers have benefited from other teams being injured, whether it's them, whether it's this Dallas team that – yeah, I mean, you could argue they've got more experience with Kyrie's been in championship situations, Luka's been to a Western Conference Finals, but they're not winning championships yet. All of it, to me, underlines the fact that Boston has no excuse. And I don't care if Kristaps Porzingis isn't 100%. There's no defending champ, no best player in the world on the other side anymore with Luka Doncic. And to me, it just says that Boston has to win now. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Like, if not now, then what are you doing?
Exactly.
Like I genuinely, like, if this version of this Celtics team, barring some weird injury or something, God forbid, moving forward, but if this version of this Celtics team, as we see it moving forward, doesn't win the championship, then what's the point? You might as well rip it apart if you can't win in this situation, because it's never going to get easier, ever. And you're right. Like, look, I take nothing away from the Pacers. When's the last time you saw a shooting day like they had last night?
Never.
In the Garden? So,
right.
It was a historic first half. And in the second half, when it got down to 8, I thought, okay, like, this is where everything normalizes a little bit. And then, bam, they got hot again. So I'm not taking anything away from Indiana. But, like, this Boston team has, since day one of this season, been the best team in the NBA, clearly. This is not a great matchup for Indiana. So Boston should win it. And then in the finals, whichever team they get, they are going to, on paper, be better than. So, you know, yeah, I think all the pressure falls on the Celtics. And it feels to me like, as much as, again, we keep saying, well, the Celtics always choke. The past Celtics teams choking has nothing to do with this year's team. I think they're going to be just fine. I think they're going to win it all. But I think what becomes interesting through all of this is that even if Boston wins the championship, like, we are no longer in an NBA right now where you just look around and say, great, the same two teams every year. Like, that is not this version. I have no idea how the West is going to look for the next 5 years.
And that's good, right, if we're talking about the parity conversation. And now, I mean, we see it. I mean, there hadn't been a repeat champion in years. It's better to have it wide open than it is to have the, I'm kind of saying that with a question mark, than it is to have the Golden States and the power teams, even the old Miami Heat that had the big three. Is it better for the league to be this wide open than it was to have those, you know, those evil empires that some of us will call them, but the other dominant teams?
I think there's a happy medium. To me, having something that's absolutely unquestionably great sets the standard for everybody else to try and get to them. And you don't have to win it every year. You just got to, look, the Chiefs haven't won the Super Bowl every year, but they've come pretty darn close, right? I think that's the right, the NFL, again, better to be lucky than good. That's sort of the right mix, right? Knowing that you got that one team everybody's shooting for, and by God, sometimes you get them, sometimes you take them down. That is the sort of special sauce. So it would be beautiful for the NBA, for example, if, the Celtics could suddenly become as dominant as the Golden State Warriors were for that moment, but then had teams that can come up and sort of shoot up and take them down. That's the trick on it, because you don't want it to be too predictable, but also, let's be honest, casual NBA fans at the end of the day will always pay attention to the Knicks, the Lakers, the Celtics. We know that. Are casual NBA fans flocking to watch Dallas, Indiana, or Minnesota? The answer to that is no. So for the league, you need somebody that is really the dominant sort of flagship team that everybody's looking at, and then you use that again to help some of your other guys get over in the process.
Fitzy, maybe you can explain it to me. You're a smart man. What is Marvin Harrison Jr. doing in terms of from a business standpoint, you've decided, you're not going to sign the licensing contract with the NFL Players Association, which keeps you, from selling your jerseys right now, can't do bobbleheads or video games. I understand if it's, I want to control my name, image, and likeness, but, LeVar Arrington apparently did this for many years at the start of his career before he eventually signed. For the combine, sitting out, the interviews, whatever, limiting all that, I can understand it from a standpoint. We don't want to work out, do anything, say anything that's going to lower our draft position. But from a business standpoint, I'm trying to, and I know, player empowerment era, guys want to control their name, image, and likeness, but I'm trying to understand how this helps him. He doesn't have an agent. Sounds like his dad's doing most of the business. Fanatics is apparently suing him for trying to back out of the deal, it feels like, or not living up to the deal that he had for his college career, that last year of his college career. I don't understand the not signing up with the NFLPA. You're going to get the $30,000 everybody else gets, but your jersey sales are going to go through the roof, trying to control your brand to a fault. What's he thinking, I guess, is the question I want to ask you.
Look, his dad knows better, and that's the nicest way I can say this, I was sitting next to Damian Harris, who, left the Bills last year for our draft shows with Yahoo. And when Damian and I were talking about it, he made it very clear. Every single locker room is going to look at this kid now. You're too good for the same thing that I got? You're too good for this? So when I say his dad knows better, his dad should know better than to let him be in this situation. And it sounds like they've lost all scope of reality when it comes to what your brand is worth. And I understand it. Hey, I want to be my own brand. I want to control my own name, image, likeness. Okay, cool. But in the meantime, every single person that is in that locker room with you that's supposed to be a brother, we always talk about this. Locker rooms are about, Tom Brady, that clip that's going everywhere right now that says, people aren't worried about the team. They're worried about the eye. That's a real concept in so many locker rooms. Damian said flat out, Marvin Harrison Jr. walks into a locker room, and the fact that he didn't do the combine is going to bother some guys. They're like, nah, I had to do it, but apparently you're too good for that. I understand, but that's just sort of the logic that's going to come in. And in the NFL world, I know he's going to be great, and if he's great, everybody will forget a lot of this.
Right.
But, man, if there's any part of him that is not great, that is going to be really curious to me. If there's any part of him that comes in and just doesn't accelerate right away, you want to tell me if he has some rough practices in the beginning that people aren't going to start chirping? His own teammates will start chirping about, yeah, nobody wants to buy that jersey now. That's going to be real, the talk that he's going to hear from that. And just across the league, we're in this world now where, Max Crosby next month is hosting the Pass Rush Summit that Von Miller started. He's sort of inherited it in Vegas, where pass rushers from all over the country are coming to Vegas to work with each other. We're in a world where George Kittle has a tight end summit in Nashville every year, right? Where all the tight ends come in and learn from each other. That speaks to the thing that fans forget all the time, which is the brotherhood of playing in the NFL. And every guy that I've worked with that played in the league will tell you, once you're in it, you understand the importance of the brotherhood with everybody else that's playing, because you're all living in the 1%, and you're the only people in the world that really get what it's like to be there, right? Now, Marvin Harrison Jr. has looked at all of these people and basically said, nah, I'm better. And you can't tell me that that won't be received some kind of way in that locker room by guys that have been grinding for years to make a roster, or guys that are famous, but you know their names are used in the video game. Their jerseys are on sale. Right. They only got the 30,000, right? It's just, this feels like you're chasing, in an attempt to stand for something, what you're really doing is hurting the foundation of your relationship with your teammates.
That is so well said, Fitzy. You're right, and nobody understands the brotherhood and that dynamic better than his father, who it seems like is kind of leading him into some of these decisions. So well said, brother. Appreciate you, Fitzy, man. Have a great week, man. Can't tell you how much we appreciate your time on these Mondays.
Appreciate you, brother. Have a great week.
You too. He is Jason Fitz. Make sure you're following him on X and Instagram at Jason Fitz. I could not agree with him. I thought that we were saying, what's Marvin Harrison Jr. doing here? He's being stupid is what he's doing. We'll wrap it up here after a break. Be right back. You're listening to Jason John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Yes, Leaders is here for you. Leaders Credit Union, 92.9 listeners, are not-for-profit financial institutions fully owned by members, operates for your benefit. It's what it can do as a credit union, not just trying to make a dollar off you like these banks. Because what they make, they invest back into the technology. That's why theirs is better than most banks. You want to launch your savings, but you're not sure where to start? How about a Forward Plus high-yield savings account from Leaders Credit Union? No minimums, balance tiers, or restrictions keep you from championing your personal finances. You can earn up to 4.25% APY on your money. To open an account, visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. Use that promo code. They'll waive the membership fee. You'll absolutely love that. And Leaders, like we talked about, putting their money where their mouth is. They're going to be one of the presenting sponsors for the Shelby County Pro-Am League that's happening here in Memphis this summer. That location's on the move. I hear from Orange Mound Community Center to Crosstown. Leaders will be there, and they'll be talking all about their Ball into the Bank Youth Financial Literacy Program to the folks that come. Stay tuned. We'll have more details on that. But if your bank or credit union's not doing anything for you, make the switch over to Leaders. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN to learn how they can champion your financial story. Again, that's leaderscu.com/ESPN. Do it today. Leaders is federally insured by NCUA. Yeah, they're growing here in West Tennessee and into the Memphis area, and they're serious about it. We're so appreciative to have them as our studio sponsor. Can't wait to tell you more about what they're doing with that Shelby County Pro-Am. All right, news before we get out of here real quick. A congratulations in order to Gigi Jackson, who's officially named to the All-NBA All-Rookie Second Team.
There you go.
Yes, pretty good for him. He's on there with Lively, Houston Rockets, Amen Thompson, Keontae George, Kaysen Wallace, as long as the Warriors, Tracy Jackson Davis. Of course, Victor Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren, the usual suspects on that first team. So shout-out to Gigi making second
nice
team.
Honor.
That's legit. If he had played all season long, he might have been first team, no question about that. Want to thank you, thank our guest today, Jason Fitz. Brad, thank you. Make sure you stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone. 92.9 FM ESPN. Yes, Leaders is here for you. Leaders Credit Union, 92.9 listeners, are not-for-profit financial institutions fully owned by members, operates for your benefit. It's what it can do as a credit union, not just trying to make a dollar off you like these banks. Because what they make, they invest back into the technology. That's why theirs is better than most banks. You want to launch your savings, but you're not sure where to start? How about a Forward Plus high-yield savings account from Leaders Credit Union? No minimums, balance tiers, or restrictions keep you from championing your personal finances. You can earn up to 4.25% APY on your money. To open an account, visit leadercu.com/ESPN. Use that promo code. They'll waive the membership fee. You'll absolutely love that. And Leaders, like we talked about, putting their money where their mouth is. They're going to be one of the presenting sponsors for the Shelby County Pro-Am League that's happening here in Memphis this summer. That location's on the move. I hear from Orange Mound Community Center to Crosstown. Leaders will be there, and they'll be talking all about their Ball into the Bank Youth Financial Literacy Program to the folks that come. Stay tuned. We'll have more details on that. But if your bank or credit union's not doing anything for you, make the switch over to Leaders. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN to learn how they can champion your financial story. Again, that's leaderscu.com/ESPN. Do it today. Leaders is federally insured by NCUA. Yeah, they're growing here in West Tennessee and into the Memphis area, and they're serious about it. We're so appreciative to have them as our studio sponsor. Can't wait to tell you more about what they're doing with that Shelby County Pro-Am. All right, news before we get out of here real quick. A congratulations in order to Gigi Jackson, is officially named to the All-NBA All-Rookie Second Team.
There you go.
Yes, pretty good for him. He's on there with Lively, Houston Rockets, Amen Thompson, Keontae George, Cason Wallace, as long as the Warriors, Tracy Jackson Davis. Of course, Victor Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren, the usual suspects on that first team. So shout-out to GG making second team.
Honor.
That's legit. If he had played all season long, he might have been first team, no question about that. Want to thank you, thank our guest today, Jason Fitz. Brad, thank you. Make sure you stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're going.